Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. The Lord spoke to me. Boy, we are so very close. So very close. The Lord's teaching me some things about how the kingdom transfers. How the kingdom is transferring. Amen. How the kingdom transfers from the realm of the kingdom to here. There's a process by which the kingdom transfers. There's a transference of the kingdom. The kingdom is an invisible kingdom, but it's a very real kingdom. It's an unseen kingdom, but it can be seen before it's seen. In fact, it's a prerequisite qualification for the kingdom to be seen before it's seen. I know you didn't understand what I just said. You have to see it with the eye of faith. I was telling Anna something on the way over here. I said, if people are not in faith, they have nothing that the Holy Spirit can work with. You have to be in faith with something every day of your life. If you don't know what that means to be in faith, then you need to be in faith. I'm not talking about in hope. In hope's like, well, God will just do it. I'll put it in his hands and he'll just do it. No, that's in hope. I didn't say in hope. In faith is you're actively engaged to bring the unseen realm into the realm of the seen, to bring the invisible realm into the realm of visibility. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it just so happened we want the apostolic government that resides in the right hand of God. That invisible government is very real. We want that government operating here. And it's really, really exciting to see some of these pillars taken off around here. Amen. The pillars of evangelism and the pillars of healing. Glory to God. And the intercession. We have more intercessors in here on Tuesday the other day. And wow, the Lord just... The gift of faith came in here and just exploded in here on Tuesday. It's amazing. I'm going to start praying like that every day. I'm praying with a gift of faith. Amen. But today I want to get right back in the Lord. Say, you got to keep this in front. You got to keep it in the front of the eyes. You got to keep it in the heart. Keep it in the mouths until this births. Amen. Wow. It's exciting to see. Glory to God. But I want to talk to you about the corporate eyewitness. You know, just seeing the Lord alone won't activate an apostolic government. It takes a corporate witness. It takes a doctrine, and it takes the Holy Spirit. Those three, the witness of the Holy Spirit, the witness of the Word, and the corporate witness of the people, those three are the fundamental components of apostolic government. They are the foundation that activates the entire government. You have to understand how the government was activated in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit falling in the book of Acts was one component, but he was falling upon their witness. He was standing beside their witness. It was all the witnesses together that activated the government and caused it to flow. Amen? God's going to restore all of that. We know he's going to restore it because in the book of Revelation, it is full blown again. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to get into some really good stuff here that I only taught here one time before, but I'm going to jump right back into it. I'm going to open your eyes a little bit to what happened, who the 120 were, what was going on there, what God was doing, and how God's going to do it again. Amen. Because he's going to do it again. Our case before God is we just want what they had. I mean, we're called to this. We know we are. We know we have an apostolic calling upon this church, upon our lives. If we have the apostolic call, we just want what they had. We want what they had, what you gave them, give us. Because what God gave them worked. Amen. And when all that's restored, it's going to work again in fullness. In fullness. Say fullness. So let's begin Acts chapter 1. Luke is giving the account. Luke wrote this book. He's actually recounting half of the book of Acts. He's recounting Luke chapter 24. What happened there? Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive. Isn't it amazing that the book of Acts starts, the very first thing the book of Acts starts with is the eyewitness? I tell people all the time, I said, if you'll learn to read the book of Acts in the light of the threefold apostolic witness, instead of just reading it in the light of the Holy Spirit demonstration, you will read the book of Acts in a whole nother way. You'll read it in another way. You'll see things you didn't see before. You'll see what was making it work. The first thing he said, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, say infallible, being seen of them, underline the word them. When you think about being seen of them, you think about being seen 11 apostles. He was seen a whole lot more than just the 11. He was seen of a lot of people. Amen. So that word them has a lot of importance. He was seen of them for 40 days speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now drop down to verse 8 because I want to get into the them today. The them, the they, and the who's. I want to know who were the 120 in the upper room. We know that the women were there. We know that the women were there. You know, they were the first to see the Lord. We know the apostles were there. The Lord's family was there. His mother was there. But that wasn't a lot of them. Verse 8, and you will receive power. Say power. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be, say to be my witnesses. To be my witnesses. Say power. To be witnesses. What was he empowering you for? To be witnesses. Say power. Witness. Witnesses was a huge part of why the power was coming. The power came upon Moses because he was going to challenge Pharaoh. He had to go and say to Pharaoh what God told him to say. And he spoke and the Holy Spirit performed. Amen. And he says, verse 9, and when they had spoken these things while they beheld, say they. So in verse 3, we have them. And then in verse 9, we have they. So all them and theys are the part of the 120 that are up in the upper room. It says, they beheld, he was taken up on the cloud and received them out of their sight. So that there, they and them. Amen. Now look what he says, verse 11. So they, there, them was more than just the 11. Look at verse 11. And he said, you men of Galilee. So part of the they, them and they are the men of Galilee. He's speaking to the 120 that are in that room. It's very important to understand who these 120 were. Before the day's over, you're going to know who these 120 were. I don't know them by name, but I know who they are. A great portion of them. Amen. And it's very important that we understand this. He says, why stand you gazing in heaven? This same Jesus taken up from heaven shall in like manner be seen him go to heaven and return to them. And then they returned unto Jerusalem for the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. Now, look at verse 14. He lists all the apostles that were in the room, the 11. In verse 13, look at verse 14. And these, so now we got they, them, there, and now we got these. These all continued with one accord and in supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. So whoever these people were, they were all in that room. There's 120 of them in this room. Now what's going to happen? He's going to pull two of them out of this room. He's going to pull two up. Verse 15, he said, in these days, Peter stood up in the midst of what? The disciples. You need to underline the disciples. In the midst of the disciples. Very important. And he said the number of the names together were about 120. And he said, men and brethren. Men and brethren. This place is full. Now watch what he does. Verse 20, he's going to choose a pool. There's a pool of men. There's a pool of disciples that are there. And he's going to choose two men out of this pool. Where did these disciples come from? Look at verse 20. And for this reason, in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, speaking of Judas. And let no man dwell therein, and his bishop let it take another. Verse 21, wherefore, of these men, remember the who, the there, the they, the brethren, the disciples, of these people that are here, of these men that are here, choose two. Now notice what it was that I'm here. He's not speaking to 11, obviously. He's not speaking to the family, obviously. But he's speaking to somebody out there, and he's going to choose two out of this company that's in the midst of the 120. Now watch what happens. He said, wherefore of these men, look at this, which have accompanied with us all the time. Say all the time. Do you know there's a lot more than this 11 running around with the Lord? They were there all the time from, it says, from the baptism of John until the day he was taking up from us. There was a lot of people that walked with the Lord from the baptism of John when the anointing came upon him. He chose 11 to be apostles, but there were disciples that were with him. He said to choose two. Now, let's go over for a minute to Luke chapter 10. Let's see who these other disciples were that they were choosing out of. There was a pool of disciples in there that had been with him. It's very important. They'd been with him from John. They were with him the entire, say, all the time of his ministry, they were with him. And they were also with him the day he was taken up from them. They saw the Lord in his resurrection. Wasn't it the 11 that saw the Lord? There's a whole lot more. It was corporate. People ask me all the time, well, those people, all kinds of people in this generation have seen the Lord. I said, yes, but it's the establishment of the corporate. It was what's going on corporately that released this government. It's understanding. You must understand how God releases the power of this gospel into the world. He releases it by way of witness. Until it is spoken by witness, the power and release. But more importantly, under an apostolic government, it's spoken by eyewitness. It's the eyewitness corporately. Say corporate. It's a body of believers that were given an eyewitness account of the Lord Jesus corporately. That corporate structure is what the Holy Spirit was anointing. He was anointing that corporate witness. It's the highest level of witness given to men. And it's going to fully restore in this hour. How you know that? Because there's too much scripture contained for it not to. And when it does, the fullness of the apostolic government that was released in the book of Acts will release again. You know, there was never a time the Bible said great grace, except one time the word great grace is mentioned. In Acts chapter 5, it says, and with great power gave the apostles eyewitness of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them. Say great grace. Great grace, great power. If you understand this, you know, you can teach something because it's something's new. But you can teach it. Sometimes it takes 5, 6, 7 times before the light comes on. Other people come up and go, man, I've never heard that before. And I'm like, I've taught that 6 times. But they didn't hear it. It takes time to hear this. It takes time to adjust because you haven't been taught. We haven't been taught this particular phase of the book of Acts. This particular phase of apostolic testimony. Been taught the Holy Ghost. Taught how to pray. Taught about the gifts of spirit. Taught about the movement of spirit. But we didn't teach the components that they were all operating in. The first thing the Lord did was show himself alive by many infallible proofs. See, that's the first thing he did. I want to know who was in that room with him. I don't know who all was in that room, because who was in that room? Who did he choose the two from? Let's say there's a pool of 70 people over here. He draws two people. And the qualification of those two is that they were with him from the beginning when the anointing came on him all the time and he was taken up. One must be ordained to be a witness of the resurrection. Say, one must be ordained. And they had to witness it. They had to have seen him. Take it up. Look at Elisha and Elijah. Elisha asked Elijah, I want your double portion of your mantle. You know that was foreshadowing? The operation of the apostles and the Lord Jesus. He said, you can see me when I'm taken up from you. Never in the Old Testament was anything like that. And Enoch was taken up, but he didn't ask him. I see, when Elijah spoke to Elisha, he said, if you can see me when I'm taken, you can have my mantle. But you've asked a hard thing. But if you can see me, you can have it. And he saw him go up in a whirlwind. He said, oh, master. And that mantle fell. Boy, I like it. He took that and he smote the river. went right away and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" See, all the prophets were making fun of him. All the prophets were making fun of Elisha for following Elijah. Elijah tried to shake him 4 different times. "Stay in the city, I'm going to go on." Said, "No, I am not leaving you. No, sir. I'm going to stay right here on the hills." And he got it. When that water parted, all those prophets that were mocking him, boy, they said, "Oh my, the anointing of Elijah rests upon Elisha now." See, once you get a mantle like that, those mantles don't come around very often. They don't come around very often. But God's going to restore the fullness of it in this hour. I am telling you straight up, there will be many of you in this congregation that will see the Lord before his return. You don't, a lot of times, I don't even know why when the Lord's appearing. People, great men of God had appearances of the Lord and it changed their ministry and the history of their ministry. And they don't even know why. But we know why. Amen. Glory to God. So I want to know who this pool of people he was pulling from. I know they were there. I'm going to prove it to you. All right. Look at Luke chapter 10. This is where he said, "After these things," say, "after these things." So after these things probably means deep call it the deep right here, right? After what happened in Luke chapter 9 would happen now in Luke chapter 10. That's deep, isn't it? Don't miss the words. They have a lot of meaning. Amen. Well, this is when he sent out the 70. He said, "After these things, the Lord appointed," say appointed, 70, other 70 also. He had 70 running around with him. Do you know that he gave them exactly what he gave the apostles when he sent them out in twos? He told them the same thing. He said, "I'm going to give you power." He said, "Don't take script or purse. If they reject you, shake the dust off your feet." He told them that. Luke chapter 9 is when he sent out the apostles. Luke chapter 10 is when he sent out the 70. He gives them both the exact same thing. He tells them to heal the sick. Carry neither purse nor script. Tells the 70, tells the 12. He said, "Shake the dust off your feet, 70. Shake the dust off your feet, 12. He hasn't told us to shake the dust off our feet yet. Now he says this in Luke chapter 10. He sends them out 2 by 2. They go out after these things. So let's back up to Luke chapter 9 and find out what happened in Luke chapter 9. Verse 1, Luke chapter 9. "Then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the devils to cure diseases." And what the Lord did is he put his mantle on them. He was getting them ready to understand what they were about to walk in. They didn't have his mantle yet. He put it on them. That's why it worked. Case in point, when they got before the boy there on the mountain trying to cast the devil out of him, they spent all day, couldn't get him out. And he showed up, he said, "Master, we've labored all night." He said, "Oh, how long should I be with you to do this for you?" He just walks up, just cast it right out. I remember in the early days, I mean, I was 6 months old in the Lord. I knew everything. You know how that is. And I went to Norval Hayes. I told you that story before. I went to Norval Hayes Bible School, where we knew everything. And these two boys come in late. They were full. Full boats. They were about 17. And they were loaded with what? They were loaded with devils. They started manifesting. We big time Bible school students decided we were going to exercise our authority. We know how to cast out devils. We started sticking our chest out. I said, "Come on. You know, we know what to do." We start with, "Come out!" We start with, "Come out!" Then we look him in the eyes. "I said in the name of Jesus, you will obey me." Then we go into asking them the name. "What's your name?" We did everything. Didn't want to admit that they were just totally wearing me out. I walked away. They don't want to be free. They wanted to be free. They'd already gotten free. When you get ready to free, come see me. All night long, 8 hours. 8 hours, wore about 6 or 7 of us completely out. Nobody wanted to admit we didn't have it. Nobody wants to admit they ain't got it. It's easier to just blame on somebody else. When you get your faith in line, you'll get it. Because I got it. I see them on TV. These preachers say, I got this. You're the one that needs to get it. I said, you ain't got nothing. I can tell they ain't got nothing. Nobody wants to admit they ain't got it. If you don't admit you ain't got it, you're not going to find it. If you think you got it, you're never going to get it. Amen? So we get up, we drag ourselves out of bed to go sit on those wooden benches. Oh, my goodness. Those wooden benches. Norval shows up that day. Well, Norval had it. He's in the middle of the service. He stops his sermon all of a sudden, and he says, there's somebody that needs deliverance in this place. And I'm thinking, what do you got that we ain't got? We are all looking at and say, yeah, we up all night. We'll see. He pulls them two boys up. Says, come out! You foul devil, come out! And those boys just started flopping. You'd think I'd be happy about that. I was not happy. None of us that spent all night were happy at all about that. What did he say that we didn't say? He had it and we didn't. Now when you get a little older, you decide to get everybody's help. Well, that was happening. See, but God put his mantle on them. When the Lord put his mantle on those 70, it worked. It worked. When he put it on the 12, it worked for him. He sent them out under his mantle. Why did he do that? He was getting them accustomed to operating in the kingdom of God. He wanted them to know what it was like to operate. He wanted them to know because he's going to leave all this with them. The whole thing is going to be left with them. But he wanted them to know. See, even the Lord, he didn't. He said, I come from the Father. He says, no man's seen the Father, but I've seen him. And I come to bear witness that I'm from him. And I'm the only way to him. See, he had the message of the eyewitness. He was commissioned. He had the doctrine. And he had the mighty Holy Ghost with him. And those four components will always transform. Amen. They're going to fundamentally transform the generation we live in. Hallelujah forever. Now, yeah, give the Lord a hand. Glory. So he sends them out in chapter 9. Now go back to chapter 10. It's going to get good. Now, verse 17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy. Say, Lord, the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan, his lightning falling from heaven. They said, it worked. Wouldn't it be nice, you got it works. That person got on the wheelchair. You know the glory of serving from that table? The Lord told me, he said, there's no other table like that. Not anywhere, at any time, or any generation, but to serve from the table of the miraculous. You being chosen, appointed to serve from that table, there's no other table like that. There's no way to describe that type of operation to take someone for all their lifetime that's going to be confined to a bed or to a wheelchair and have them get up in front of you. Someone has never seen to have them see. Someone's never heard to have them hear. There's no other table. There's no other joy. And there's nothing going to be like it. And that's the table that he's assigned us to. And a whole lot of other people like us. Amen. It's the table of our generation. We're going to see that fullness. We're not going to stop till we do. We're going to labor. We're going to operate. We're going to expand. But we are going to stay very fixed and focused on what makes this thing happen. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm getting some good stuff. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, now notice in verse 19 what he says to them. They already went out and did what they were going to do. They already came back with their testimony. Their job's been done. Now what he says to them, behold, talking to the 70 here, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall even hurt you. Now he tells them that. Verse 23, he turned unto his disciples, to the 70. He's talking to the 70 here. Say the 70. And he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things you hear and have not heard them. Blessed are you. Blessed. 70. Blessed. You're blessed. He said, I'm going to give you power. Now, it's interesting he tells them this at this particular time. What time is he telling them to? Well, what does verse 1 say in chapter 10? What does verse 1 say? After these things. He sends out the 12 in verse 9. He sends out the 70 in chapter 10. Chapter 9, he sends the 12. He said something in chapter 9 that gives you a clue of what kind of timing is involved here. So if you go back to chapter 9, verse 51, this is after he sent the 12 out, be right before he sends out the 70. He says something remarkable. And you put all this together, and you're going to find out who's in the upper room. Amen? So it came to pass after the 12, and he's about to send out the 70, but he says, right before he sends out the 70, he says this in verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. Right before he sends the 70 out, he steadfastly sets his face to Jerusalem. He is ready to go to the cross. He is on his way to be delivered up. Before he does, he sends the 70 out. They come back and say, it's worked. He said, listen, you ain't that was something. You're about to receive power. I'm going to put my power on you. That was just a foretaste. I am on my way to be delivered up. But you are about to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He's within weeks of the cross. So are we to believe the 70, they go through this, they get his mantle, he promises them power, and all of a sudden they just disappear? No. They fed right in to Jerusalem. They were a part of the 120. They were a part of the 12. And in fact, as those 70, go to Acts chapter 1, those 70, that he pulls two of them out. He's looking at a pool of disciples. Now, this is huge. Say, huge. You're getting better with that. Now, go back to Acts chapter 1. So you didn't find out who's in there. I mean, these guys have already, they've been with the Lord. Now notice again who the two are being pulled from. We know he's not pulling them from the 12. We know he's not pulling his family out. We know he's not pulling the women out. He's pulling two from a company of disciples that are in there. Why? He says it. Verse 15, these days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Now notice again. Verse 21. See, if you read it, you'll see what's going on. It's very important to get a very clear picture of what's going on in the book of Acts. How the Lord launched the early church. What he did. How he prepared them. These men were not novices. They were walking with him for 3 years. They were alongside of the 11. That whole upper room was there by divine appointment. He just didn't throw arbitrarily 120 people together. Most of these people were with the Lord from the very beginning. And the Holy Ghost came upon him. When he came out of the obscurity of Nazareth and the Holy Ghost came upon him, they joined him right there. He had the church ready. Listen, if something just falls out of the sky on an immature church, you're going to lose it. You have to know a few things. The power is going to create things. Everybody wants the power. But it's going to create situations quickly. You're going to see all manner of people show up. All kinds. There are going to be people who want to try to control it. People who want to kind of destroy it. People who want to make it goofy. People who want to make it squirrely. You'll have flaky people. Mean people. Hurting people. There'll be all kinds of stuff thrown right in the middle of and stirred up. People will come in there, man, they will have such a charisma. They will have such a way about them, but there are devils behind that they want to destroy. And if you don't have the capacity to see that, it'll show itself right up in there. So some of the things you go through, some of the hard times you've gone through, and the difficult situations you've gone through are to prepare you. Because God is more just about birthing the thing. He's about protecting it too. If you can't see, nobody's going to see everything. That's impossible. That's why you get eyes everywhere. Amen. get people around you that have discernment. I'll tell you, Christine, Rachel Hangerstein, Christine has very clear black and white discernment. She's just very matter of fact, but she can notice stuff just like that. All the time I'll ask her, what do you think about this? Because I know she has a very, it's a black or white. There's no in between with her. Oh, dear Lord. Hallelujah. There's people who have great, great, great discernment in here. Lily has eyes in the back of her head. I said, you see that back there? She's not even turning around. She goes, oh, yeah, I see it, Pastor. I'm like, she sees it before it sees it. She saw it when you walked through the door. They see. You got to be able to spot stuff. Amen. We're getting better at that. Used to, I couldn't spot anything. Holy Spirit's job is full-time mop-up of Pastor LaRue's mess. I said, Lord, man, the enemy's very active around here. He goes, no, it's not. You planted every bit of this. Just the time we had like 6 or 8 fires burning at one time, I thought, my God, I'm done. It was so much fire burning, it was cooking me. And I was complaining to the Lord heavily about it. The devil this, the devil that. And the Lord said, the devil, yeah, it's him, but you planted every bit of this. And he goes, you wouldn't have planted it. None of this would be operating right now because you gave it authority to operate. You give something authority, never, ever give a devil authority to operate. That's deep calleth the deep. None of you would ever do that because devils are never going to just show up with a horn and said, I'm here to destroy. They show up in an encasement, a sheep's house. Sometimes they got just incredible. Anyway, about protecting too, about growing up. If you're a person that's accustomed to be intimidated, you'll get in trouble big time because there are people that will intimidate you. There are personalities that are very strong out there. They'll seek to control and intimidate you. You can't allow that to happen. I mean, you got to win the battle with the glory, the gold, and the gals. You got to win all that battle. Like Kathy says, nobody's getting the glory for this but the Lord. Yay! Amen. Then you got to win the battle of the gold. God doesn't mind you having gold. He just doesn't want to ride on the back of a widow for you to get it. A lot of people call them blessed, and what they're really good at is just drawing money out of people's pockets. You're going to get blessed, get blessed. But you don't have to ride on the back of somebody else. I mean, if that is your glory to be able to pull money out of someone's pocket, then what kind of glory is that? Mm-hmm. Again, Acts 1, verse 21. So wherefore of these men, now you know who these men are that he's pulling from. Notice that these 70, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went out in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day he was taken up from us. If you want to know, the chief operation of an apostolic government, the number one function is not to go build churches. That is a secondary function. It is a major function, but it's secondary. The number one function of an apostle, number one, is right here. For one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed 2 from the 70. It fell on him, Matthias. Notice what he says, verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship. And he directly related the ministry of apostleship to bearing witness of the resurrection. He had to be a witness of the resurrection. Say witness. He had to have seen the Lord in a resurrected state. That was his qualification. So now God has a whole company of them. What these scriptures tell us, that a great part of the 120 had saw the Lord already. They were in there. They had seen the 12, the 70. They had already seen, because he pulls 2 and he said, they had to have been with us from John till the day he was taken up. So there was a company of at least those 70 were there. They saw his resurrection and he pulled 2 of them out. The women saw him. The 12 saw him. The point was that while they were up in the room in one accord, they had all seen the Lord. He birthed that entire church from a corporate eyewitness. He said, wait to be endued with power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that you might be my eyewitnesses. Because I'm going to send you to the world, the courtroom of the world. I'm going to bring firsthand testimony. Believe it or not, the Holy Spirit's power was standing into their testimony. He had to bind himself to their testimony. And God gave them the highest level testimony of man, the eyewitness testimony. Birthed the early church that way. Why wouldn't he do it again? What, is he going to leave us without all of that? We're going to call ourselves apostles, but we don't get all the qualification of it? They had the doctrine. Remember, he opened the books. Be seen in him 40 days speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, open the books. The doctrine, the eyewitness, the Holy Ghost, and commission. The doctrine, the eyewitness, the Holy Ghost, and commission. The doctrine, which was the witness of the word, the witness of the eyewitnesses, the witness of the Holy Spirit, and commission. Those are the components of apostolic. They are the foundation. I promise I'll quit the ministry if we get that and it don't work. When that happens, it's going to work every time. That's what's missing. I'm going to close with this. Go to Acts chapter 2. He's in the middle of his message, which I don't want to get into, but it's a really good one. Speaking of the resurrection, right hand of God. Verse 31, Peter's relaying the message on Psalm 16 about David. It wasn't really the one he was talking about. It was Christ. Psalm 16, it's right in the middle of it, verse 31. He says, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Neither do it his flesh see corruption, because see, David's did. So we know Psalm 16 wasn't talking about David. It was talking about Christ. And Christ ascended the right hand of God. Now, verse 32, Peter says this. He says, in Jesus, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all, say we all, Peter standing in the midst of all the 120, the Holy Ghost just fell on. He says, we are all eyewitnesses here. Did he say all? Look, we're all eyewitnesses here. Did the Holy Ghost birth the church out of the eyewitness? Is it a fundamental component? Well, if you read the book, I challenge you to read the book of Acts in the light of the eyewitness. How many times it speaks of the resurrection. How many times it talks about the resurrection from Paul to Peter. Everything was about the right hand of God, the resurrection, and their testimony concerning it. You read the book of Acts like that, you're going to have a whole nother viewpoint of what was going on. There is a missing element the church doesn't have yet. When the church gets it, the Holy Spirit said, keep it in front of them. I said, they know it. He goes, keep it in front of them anyway. Now, we know that. We wrote a constitution on it. Amen? Go to Psalms 25. This is what we jumped into. A lot of times the Holy Spirit will release something in prayer time on Tuesdays. Okay. So, what we did, those of you don't know, we said, okay, we see this. This is the way it was back then. If you want us to do what they did, then maybe we should have what they had. So we just recorded everything they had. Recorded the scripture, we recorded Old Testament, New Testament, eyewitness encounters, heavenly encounters, the doctrine of the resurrection, and right hand of God, you fill Jerusalem with this doctrine of the resurrection, fill the doctrine of the resurrection, right hand of God, Holy Spirit, he says, you will testify, and he also will testify, you will bear witness of me, and he also shall testify, speaking of the Holy Spirit in you, see, the two go together with the word. So we wrote this and we said, we see this belongs to the apostolic office. It's a grace that belongs to the apostolic office. So we've been carrying this around, believing God, wrote a constitution on it and a whole lot of other things in here. And we're holding it, keeping it, frontless of our eyes. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me last week and he said something that'll forever change my prayer life. And I saved this for the last. He said, you can never catch up to tomorrow. You will never catch up with tomorrow. Because tomorrow will always be tomorrow. In fact, it was Tina come up here and she was giving an exhortation on Sunday. It was a now word. And it didn't catch up with me the next day when the Lord, Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, the kingdom of God is now. It's today. It is today. You know, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He says, you have tomorrow faith. You have one day faith. You're keeping it. You're holding it. And you're saying, I mean, it's coming. Or you have it's coming faith. Or it's going to happen faith. Soon faith. I mean, all the faith we have. Tomorrow faith. Almost there faith. Right around the corner faith. We're just right at the edge of it faith. And the Spirit of the Lord gave me this scripture to forever change my, I'm changing everything the way I pray now. Everything's today. And it's creating an incredible expectancy. It's today is the day of salvation. Everything I do now is today, today, today. Today, the realm of the unseen becomes seen. Today, the invisible things of the kingdom of God is being seen among men and made visible. Today, thy kingdom come and thy will is being done on the earth as it is in heaven. Today is the day of salvation. This is a day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. And blessed be the Lord who daily, today. And then what he added with it, I couldn't figure out what, remember I kept asking you, Chuck, what else did the Lord throw in there last Tuesday? It was the gift of faith. And the Lord said, you need a gift of faith. He goes, because I'm asking you. Now listen, this is very important. My question to the Lord was this. I said, every eyewitness encounter from Genesis to Revelation, you gave freely. I don't see any man had to stand there and believe you for it. They were given it. And you're asking us to not only write a constitution, keep the word, receive it, keep it, hold it in our mouths, in the frontlets of our eyes, in the midst of our heart, walking around preaching this stuff. And nobody's listening. I'm talking to church fathers about this, and they don't have a clue about it because it hadn't been taught before. Well, if it had been, somebody would already done it before. Maybe it's our message. Why are you asking us to believe to see you? Why? Why, you gave it to them freely. I asked them to believe other things, but you gave that to them freely. He said, because to see me under an apostolic government is because you've already been given the doctrine. You've already been given the Holy Ghost. All that remains in the blueprint is the eyewitness, corporate eyewitness testimony to be established. And he goes, because that's all that remains to see me completes the blueprint, which releases the invisible kingdom into the realm of visibility. He goes, just like Abraham, I wasn't asking him to produce a million descendants, but I promised him a million descendants. I only asked him to produce one. Because I'm not asking you to bring the whole kingdom down. My Holy Ghost is going to do that. But I am asking you to see him who is invisible. Because once one part of the kingdom that is unseen becomes seen, all of the kingdom that's unseen will become seen. Booyah. It's still faith, though. You got to see the impossible. You have to believe with against hope, believe in hope. Because we have one component that cannot. Here's the thing. It's so easy to go do what you can do. I mean, the whole body of Christ is filled with what people, just do what you can do. Just go do it. Make it happen. Think about the kingdom of God. There's certain things you can't do. You're inside. It's there, but you can't put your hand to it. God requires us to believe the impossible. Call things that be not as though they were. And so how he helped me, he said, you're going to need the gift of faith for this. He said this. He goes, I'll help you. He goes, but you got to believe in the now kingdom. You have to believe in today. So I'm going to leave you with scripture today. Very powerful. Psalms chapter 25. Hallelujah. Choo-choo. Hallelujah. I like that. Choo-choo. Glory to God. That's exciting what's going on in evangelism. Man, like when y'all go out there with the eyewitness, whole community. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth. Teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. On thee do I wait. And he gave me the scripture. He said, now go look up the word wait. Interlinear. Actually, all I had to do is just jump into the Hebrew. It was right there, right in your face. You know what the word wait means? It means to look, to eagerly look for, to hope, to expect. And then it means to collect or bind together. On thee do we eagerly look for all the day long. On thee do we hope all the day long. On thee do we expect all the day long. But we brought it into today. We brought it into now. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom now faith is. Now faith. You bring your faith from tomorrow, which you'll never catch up to. One day, which you'll never catch up to, because one day will always be one day. Tomorrow it's going to be one day. And you draw it in today. Today. Everything you speak, everything you decree, everything you say, today. Today. I look today. I look for the invisible king to be made visible. Today I look for the unseen king to be seen. Today my witness and my testimony is confirmed among men. Today the corporate eyewitness is confirmed among men. Well, what happened if it didn't happen that day? Then tomorrow it's today. Because I can catch up with today. I cannot catch up with tomorrow. But it also means to collect or bind together. Something like they were all in one accord, collected together, bound together with one purpose, one heart, one mission, one government today. All the intercessors were in today, bound into the day, seeing and decreeing an invisible kingdom that's dwelling in the frontlets of mine eyes. It's not invisible. I see it. I just see it with the eye of the faith. And the Lord said, if it's not there, you have nothing to work with because it's here. All you got to do is have today faith with the gift of faith and decree what's here, here. What's here, here. If it's resting in the frontlets of your eyes, if it's resting in your heart, and if it's in your mouth, it's ready to manifest into the earth. Because the kingdom of God doesn't just drop out of the sky and fall down. It moves into you. It moves into your imagery. It moves into your mouth. It moves in the frontlets of your eyes. It moves into your heart. Keep these things in the midst of your heart. When you have it there, you have the kingdom. And you decree the release of it into the earth today. Say today. Now faith is. Now faith is. Oh, Stan, I want to do that one song to go out, the anthem song. We are royalty. We walk with our king today. The corporate eyewitness is established among men again. That's one thing I've not seen. I've seen men see the Lord. I've seen individuals grab mantles before God, but to see it corporately come over a government and a government to be born out of that, that will mark the difference. Because God is establishing today his witness among men again. A true eyewitness. Go ahead, Chris. I am so stirred in my heart. Fixed. Fixed. It's been our pleasure serving you today.